Blog Talk Radio.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Hey. All y'all girls standing together. Hey. Like I can't take it.
Doing tonight? I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP locker room, and we are revved up and ready to go. We got an amazing guest tonight. This is somebody that is a dear friend of mine because he was actually in my recruiting class in college, and we also were both defensive backs, so I spent plenty of times in locker rooms and film room sessions with this guy. Never thought that he would be getting into the line of work that he is in now, but tremendously proud of this young man, family guy, somebody that was a hell of a football player, but an even better person. We have Mr. Albus Brooks, and he is in Denver, Colorado right now, and he's an hour ahead of us, so we want to definitely thank him for the time, but I think we already have Albus on the line. Albus, can you hear us?
Yeah, Terrence. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good, boss, and long time no talk, and I was just telling the audience, man, we go way back, and we probably got too many stories to tell, but I'm super proud of you, and you're doing some amazing work in Denver.
Terrence, thanks so much for having me on the show, and I got to say that I'm equally as proud of you, and it feels like we grew up together. We became men together in Boulder, Colorado, and to see, to see where you're at now, and to see how you are inspiring so many young people is something that I'm about, and I'd love to help out in any way I can.
No, we definitely appreciate your time. I know you're busy right now, and since you are short on time, let's get into it. And I think we already have a couple callers, but if you guys can hear us, we're going to keep you on hold for a little while to start the show. So for those that don't know you, tell us a little bit about where you're originally from.
Yeah, so I'm from Southern California, and I was born in Fox Hills Community Hospital. In West LA, and shortly thereafter, my parents and my siblings, we moved to Claremont, California, which is about 30 minutes just east of LA, and in kind of a suburban community, and it's the last town in Los Angeles County. And I lived for 18 years in Claremont, same home, graduated, and straight to Boulder. And so, I'm a Southern California kid, but Denver is now where I call home.
And you were one hell of a football player in California, All-American, All-State honors. Who was it that turned you on to football, Albus? Was it dad, somebody at the school? Who got you started with football?
You know, I got to give a lot of credit to my brother. My dad had me playing competitive basketball, both statewide and nationally, at a very young age. I was fourth grade, and I was on the team with Baron Davis and Jaren and Jason Collins and all these NBA stars now. And it just burned me out. I mean, I had been doing that since I was, 6 years old, and by the time I got in middle school, my brother kept trying to get me to go play football, tackle football. So I ended up playing in seventh grade with the Ontario Outlaws. I started out as cornerback. I used to get trucked. I used to get beat deep all the time. And it wasn't until the end of that season when I just fell in love with the game. I was tired of getting hit, so I learned how to hit. I was tired of getting beat, so I learned how to cover, man, and started playing safety and then started playing offense a little bit as well. And so that's where it all started. And one of my favorite players was Bo Jackson at the time. He was insane. He was an incredible athlete. And so I was a big Raider fan. And it was unfortunate to see he couldn't finish out his career. But that was the early inspiration. And obviously, by the time I got in high school, I would watch Ronnie Lott highlight tapes before every football game just because that man was insane. And talk about loving the game. He understood the game. He loved the game. And he played with a ferocious just tenacity and intensity. And so I wanted to emulate that. And I tried to do the best I can. I got lucky and got a scholarship to University of Colorado.
And speaking of emulating guys like Ronnie Lott, Albus, for those that never got to see you play, was one heck of a free safety, one heck of a tackler, and known for hitting, had the nickname Blackout, which was probably the best name in our recruiting class, and definitely lived up to it on the field. Talk to us a little bit about the decision to go to Colorado. Obviously, you got great schools like USC and UCLA in your backyard. What was it about Boulder that attracted you to the university?
Well, I got to be honest. You know, I always wanted to the University of Michigan. I always wanted to play for that Maize and Blue. And ever since I was ninth grade, you know, I would tell people I'm going to Michigan. And I still remember a couple coaches saying, Michigan, you got to be All-American to go to Michigan. There's no way they're going to look at you. And I was heavily recruited by Michigan and some other schools, Tennessee and University of Texas and Washington, and obviously you mentioned UCLA and USC. I knew that I was ready to leave home. I'm an entrepreneur. I kind of got to have my space. I got to do my own thing. And so I knew that in me and that I wanted to experience life and experience myself. Who am I really? I grew up with two amazing parents. And so I began looking at schools. I only went on my trip to University of Colorado because Rick Neuheisel was so good. He was so good at recruiting, and he really made me feel, wanted, and so did A.J. Kristoff. I bet you ain't heard that name in a while, Terry. A.J. Kristoff, all those guys really made me feel wanted, and so I gave it a shot to go visit them, but always knowing I really wanted to go to Michigan. And, you know, I tell people this all the time, and it'll make sense at the end of my story when I share a little bit about it, but I was at Colorado, and things were just right. I mean, just enjoying the players. I loved the opportunity I was going to get to play early. It looked like, a pretty strong recruiting class. Some of my friends that already had Division I scholarships were telling me, giving me advice that you want to go to the place where they want you the most. Man, Colorado sure did want me. But it was something that Rick Neuheisel and Damon Wheeler, another blast from the past, said to me.
Yes.
And they said, Albus, if you come to Colorado, the sky is the limit past football. And when I was 17, I didn't understand that, but I'm living that now. And there was something deep within me that understood it. It agreed with kind of my soul, like, yeah, that's right. You know, I'm going to have opportunities past football. So, man, I committed on the spot and committed to Colorado, told Michigan no, told Texas no, and told Tennessee no. There was also some complications. I mean, Michigan had a very – they had Woodson, Charles Woodson, and their whole backfield. They were juniors, going to be into their junior years. And so I didn't think I'd get any tick for a couple of years. Little did I know they'd all go to the league the next year. But, you know, so, you know, I didn't go to any of those schools, man, and chose Colorado. And, you know, it proved to be the best choice for me.
No doubt, and we are obviously glad that you made that decision, man, because I couldn't picture you on the other side of the field and playing against you. It looks like we have a caller out of 954 area code, so let's see. Do you mind if we try to take a caller real quick, Alvis?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. So you are currently in the Before You Go Pro locker room with Coach Terrence Wood and Councilman Alvis Brooks. Who are we speaking with? Hello, 954-218. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, who are we speaking with?
This is Rojustin Ferris.
Hey, Ro, how's it going, boss? Alvis, this is actually one of our newer BYGP kids, a kid out of Florida, great defensive back. Did you have a question for Alvis, Ro?
What was your favorite moment being at Colorado State? Colorado, I'm sorry.
Well, Yeah. Hold on now. You talking about the CSU Rams? You can't get it wrong, brother. No, The University of Colorado. My favorite moment, man. That's a tough one because there are a lot of good moments. But I guess I'm gonna go a little granular and say the best thing about Colorado. Well, the best thing is that I became a man in Colorado. Right? I understood my values. I understood who I was as a man, what my purpose was in life, my trajectory, where I was headed. But one of the best things that ever happened was really the camaraderie, the friendship. I mean, Terrence Wood can be anywhere in the world and give me a call and I'll be there in 5 minutes, right? It's the brotherhood that you kind of develop, and you don't develop that anywhere else. It's a greater bond than you develop in high school. It's a greater bond than you develop even in the pros. And so that brotherhood to me was one of the most important things. And still, many of us get together, a couple times a year just to see each other, just to check in. And it is one of the greatest experiences, man, because we've shared so much. We grew up together. I don't know if you were going for that. You're probably going for something on the field. But that is, I think, what stands out the best. Did you want me to share kind of a field experience?
I like that explanation right there.
But you got me thinking about it now. So kind of the best field experience was probably I was a redshirt freshman and I was starting and I was playing at Oklahoma and. It was Big 12 football, man, and stands were packed, and, you know, it was just a glorious experience, man. And I played really well. I was tied for the team leading in tackles that game, and it was just one of those things. It was like, man, I'm playing Division I football, baby. This is great. This is a lot of energy, a lot of fun, and it's a road trip. And so, you know, if you win, it's a good time, man. You on the bus with your boys, you on the plane with your buddies. It's just a good time. When you get back in town, you guys are all going to connect and do something. So, you know, all of that is just so exciting. It's another thing when you lose, too, but we won't go into that.
No, man, you put a big smile on my face because you're bringing it back, some of those good memories. Appreciate the call, Ro, and keep up the good work. But I appreciate the call, and we'll be talking to you, okay?
Thank you.
All right. No, definitely a great young player out of Florida, and you'll see him playing some college ball next year. Albie, I'll have to get you his film so you can evaluate him. But, no, thanks for taking us back. And yes, we were playing Big 12 ball. Definitely some great times. Talk to us. You mentioned, Albie, being able to get on the field early as a redshirt freshman. What do you think allowed you to get on the field early?
You know, Terrence, that's a good question. I mean, it was opportunity. I mean, I definitely, before I committed, I evaluated the, you know, my position being open, and I knew that there was a senior in front of me, and then after that, it was really my position to lose. You know, I worked really hard. That was one of the things that I think separated me from folks is. And Terrence, to tell y'all, I mean, I loved the weight room, man. I loved it. And so, you know, I was Terrence was faster than me. You know, there was other people who were faster than me. The one thing that I could control is strength, and no one was going to outwork me. And so I liken that ability to start early to that knack for just saying, you know what, I'm going to be the first one in. I'm going to be the last one out. I'm going to be pound for pound, the strongest guy on the team. You know, all of those things, I think, kind of separated me. I'm going to make sure that I understand the film. I'm going to make sure the coaches know that I'm studying. I want more. And, you know, every day I just try to put in my own motto. You know, we used to have this sign up in the weight room that said, "Make them fear you." And that's what I wanted to do, both intellectually and both physically. I wanted folks to say, "Man, we got to put this brother on the field." And so I was on the field and was able to start and was able to really, you know, for that first year, make a name for myself. And then, you know, the rest of my career was hampered with injuries and could never get right and all those other things, but. That first year was a lot of fun, but also a lot of pressure too, you know, and I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about how much pressure it was to, man, make sure you get the calls right, make sure everyone's in the right setting. And I wasn't prepared for that. I don't think that people really prepared me to deal with the stress of Division I football. That experience, and we'll talk about this later, but that experience prepared me for the stress of being a representative of over 50,000 people and being a leader of one of the fastest growing cities in the United States now, you know. And so, you know, we use lessons all the time, but, you know, as you're doing this with these young people, Terrence, I hope that someone is talking to them about preparing their mental capacity for the pressure and stress that they're going to experience.
Definitely, and I'm glad you brought that up because that is what our company is all about, and you were able to do it better than most. But we see time and time again athletes who can't function, whether it's with the stress on the field or the life off the field. Do you believe kids off the field actions or lifestyles can aid or hinder their on the field performance?
Yeah, you know, yes, I would say emphatically yes. I will also say that there's some people who can, you know, act a fool off the field and just keep going and keep grinding. But I will say one day it catches up with you, you know. You know, that seed that you are investing in off the field is going to catch up with you. And that's how I saw it is my lifestyle. It's okay to have fun, but what does it mean to live a respectable lifestyle, to have people speak well of you wherever you go? You know, my mom used to always say to me that a good name is more desirable than any riches. And I wanted people to say, you know, have good words to say about my, you know, about me when they heard my name. And so I think my trying to be respectable off the field. You know, it was always a struggle in college because you're growing up really aided my ability to stay focused on the field.
Great point. Very well illustrated. You actually, you got off to a very hot and quick start to your college football career. You were named one of the heaviest hitters, biggest hitters in college football, I think, by Sporting News. You were, I think, even an all Big 12 freshman. Talk to us about the injury, because you had an injury that derailed your career to a certain extent. What did you end up hurting, and how did that affect you mentally going through that?
Yeah, thanks for talking about it. So my senior year in college, I blew out my knee for the first time, and I tore my anterior cruciate ACL and also my MCL. And I was very, very, you know, I will say, after I blew it out, I got a phone call from a coach from Michigan State. I wonder, can anybody name what coach was at Michigan State in 1997? Well, he's probably one of the hottest coaches right now in football. It was Nick Saban. And he said, you know, son, I'll take you with one leg. And that really encouraged me to really work hard my senior year in high school. And so I really did, got my leg strong. For whatever reason, my ACL failed 2 years into my college career, which was devastating. Because one, you can recover from, two is really tough, especially if the first one failed. So, you know, that injury was tough, and I found that I had a regenerative knee, which definitely, you know, it's the same thing that Terrell Davis had, and it just means that, you know, whenever you go in and open it up, it just gets worse, and you get slower and all that other stuff. And so, I just couldn't do the same stuff that I used to do. And it was noticeable, and it was noticeable on the field, and it was noticeable in my workouts, and I couldn't focus, and I wasn't the same player. And I turned into, you know, kind of a second string safety and a special teams player. And it was devastating. It was devastating. But it also was character building. And I am the man I am today because of all of that. That allowed me to see who I really was, and that football was a gift, but it was not my purpose. And, you know, that was probably one of my biggest life lessons. And today I get to teach young men and young women, you know, all across the nation about that, you know, you got to know the difference between a skill, a gift, and your purpose. They're very different things, and conflict in life will bring them all out, but you got to be patient to come out. So that's a quick synopsis of how it went down.
No, that was beautiful, man. Do you feel like you were brought to Colorado for a purpose?
Yeah, you know, I do, man. And you know, as soon as I left college, I wanted to work with, and this is apropos of, you know, where we are as a nation the last 2 weeks, but I wanted to work with young men of color who didn't have the same opportunities that I had, who didn't have a dad at home, you know, who was racing to get home from work to get me to sports and would work me out. Who didn't have a mom who had a PhD and was making me read all these books and wanted me to be an intelligent young black man. And so I wanted to give back to my community. And that is still, you know, my ultimate purpose is giving back to my community, especially those in our community who are forgotten.
How did you get started in politics and government work, man? Because I tell you, we spent a lot of time together coming up through the years, and I always figured you'd be a business professional, you know. You're charismatic, you're a handsome guy, get along with people, but I never thought government and politics. So how did you get into that?
Yeah, so, you know, when I left college, I got into this organization called Young Life. I became the director of Young Life, and all over Denver, and so we started opening up these school kind of clubs and working with young people just about life and their faith and, you know, purpose and God and all this stuff, and it was so great. And I've always had, you know, I was religious studies and political science major, and so I've always had that kind of political instinct in the back of my head, but never wanted to take it serious until I saw a need for it. And when I saw the systemic kind of injustices that were happening in our communities, I wanted to do something about it. And so I started another nonprofit called Issachar Center for Urban Leadership, and we raise, you know, $1 million a year to pay for the college scholarships. I got a football scholarship. We were given leadership scholarships to young people of color in the neighborhood. And when I was there, the mayor and his wife came to one of our events, and he just on the spot said, "Hey, man, I need you to work for me. I need you in my office." And I wasn't ready to do that, but then he ran for governor and asked me to be his political director. Now, mind you, I at that point, I had no political experience, but I had a knack for politics. And, you know, the rest is sort of history. I learned a lot, and I ended up running for office, and I ran against 38 other candidates, which is the most in municipal history. I was the youngest. But I had a vision, and I had a passion, and I knew what my purpose and calling was. And so I think voters realized that, and we ended up winning by 2,000 votes. And now I get to be, you know, the city council position is a full-time position. I'm the city council person and also a county commissioner and in Denver. And it is it's a complete thrill, and it's you know, it's hard. But I really enjoy it.
How has football in any way helped you with what you do with your daily actions and profession now?
Yeah, you know, and I mentioned it briefly before, but Terrence, I would say that, you know, when you're sitting there on the medical table and the doctor is examining you and saying, "You can play, but you're not going to be like you were." It makes you really do a self-check, man. And you know, it built a lot of character in me. And, you know, so think about that moment. And then I think about the stress that I had to deal with, you know, because I was playing this new position of a safety kind of linebacker. A little whip linebacker, and I had to make the calls, but also, you know, I was a hybrid. I was doing the coverages, but also had to, you know, understand the schemes, the front seven schemes, and it was a lot, and it was different, and it was fast paced, and all of that, and it was a lot of stress, and that just built capacity in me, I use all of that. And the other thing is there's a tenacity that is built in football that you can use for the rest of your life. And folks, you know, nothing can be too grimy or too dirty here in the city for me because I've been through it all on the football field. And so I take all of that and I use it. And you know, playing for the University of Colorado, I mean, it comes up probably once a week when I'm doing stuff within the city. And so my football career has been very beneficial to me.
Great stuff, man. Great advice, great knowledge. I want to kind of leave off with one last question and let you go because I know you had a busy day today, but we definitely appreciate your time. If you were to say something, Albus, to a young man who may have a scholarship, you know, he may have a few different options, but he doesn't truly understand the value of college yet, what would you say to that young man?
Yeah, I think I would say that right now your vision will only allow you to see, you know, kind of 2 or 3 years ahead, right? Like you can only see, okay, man, will I get the ability to play? Do I got a shot to go to the league? yada, yada, yada. But there's also a vision that you need to try and encapsulate of 10 to 15 years down the road. And you don't have to know what you want to do. But your educational skills are going to be a building block for your success in the future. And I kind of had to learn that the hard way. I mean, Terrence, I tell you, we were in the same class together, you know, and there were times when we did not take it as serious as we should have. And, you know, we got degrees just to get them and didn't really see the value and have the same hunger as knocking a, you know, 6 foot, 230-pound running back out as I did for, you know, college algebra or, you know, calculus or, you know, getting through my history. You know, if I had dealt with that with the same tenacity, I wouldn't be in the position I am today, which today now, I'm getting my master's in business administration. I could have took care of that earlier if I would have handled it with the same tenacity. And so I would just say work hard to have that longer range vision, and you will be you'll be a better football player, you'll be a much better person, and you will live a life of no regrets.
Great stuff, man. Hey, last thing, and sorry I lied, but I think that you have some good insight to this.
Look at you, man. You like a pastor, man. One more.
Hey,
one
man.
More,
you giving me too much, man. I got to eat some more. Talk to the kids just real quick before we jump off about relationships with people, whether it's alums or scholarship donors or even in your daily activities today. How important are relationships as far as getting a hand up?
You know, whoever is listening right now, I'm telling you, Terrence Wood is on to something. And you guys need to continue to tune in because it's not – so much about the answers, it's about the questions. He's asking the right questions to make and allow people to develop to be great players and people. And I think you're getting at one of the most important things. Terrence, relationships, relationships, relationships. What I have learned is that life is 90% relationships. You know, and 10% of what the other things that you need to figure out, which is your skills and things like that. But it is 90% relationships.
Wow.
You are always building, and if you don't know what this word is, go and look it up and read on it a little bit. You are always building social capital, right? So there's capital can be financial, but it can also be social. And when you build up social capital, you know, that's like having money that you ain't never seen before. And what I built at Colorado was a ton of social capital. And I got a chance to cash that when I needed some opportunities in the real world. And so, you know, as you are getting ready to, you know, make a decision for college and all those, ask questions like, can I meet some of your donors? Can I meet some of the leaders in your community that are tied to your university? Because I'm worried about the long view, and I want to start to build a relationship with them now. Terrence and I went to one of the scholarship donors, came up with this company called JetBlue, which is still in service today, business today. And,
yes, sir.
You know, a lot of folks just, you know, push that person off to the side and, you know, use them a little bit. But, man, that cat right now is balling out of control. And folks are sad because they didn't use their relationship. One more story. And Marlon Barnes would not feel bad at me saying this. One of the most influential people in the city of Denver today is Mr. Gallagher, and he's a big scholarship donor, and Marlon Barnes pushed him to the side, didn't talk to him until it was too late, and he went to him and asked him for help, and he had built no social capital. And so at the end, you know, the guy didn't end up helping him. And so, you know, I just think you want to build good relationships. You never know when you're going to use them. Don't burn any bridges, and you will be a very successful person in life. And someone taught me that, and I didn't believe it until I needed it. But it is valuable advice.
Well, man, words can't express how good it is to hear your voice, how good it is to see that you're doing well and helping so many people. You definitely helped out our Before You Go Pro kids and parents tonight. You're killing it, man, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, thank you, Terrence, and thank you, all your parents and kids that are out there, and good luck with your futures. And, you know, remember, you can be anything you want to be. Continue to work hard, and you're going to see your dreams come true. Keep listening to Terrence Wood. This brother right here is incredible, and this is just the beginning of the success that he's going to begin to see. So thank you, Terrence, for having me on.
Appreciate it, man, and the feeling is definitely mutual, man. So, hey, kiss my nephews and nieces, and keep kicking butt. We'll be in contact.
Hey, please do the same, brother.
All right, boss. So there you guys have it. Another amazing guest. That is Mr. Albus Brooks, councilman in Denver for District 8. He's the youngest councilman in Colorado history for District 8. And I hope you guys could tell why, because he's somebody that's passionate about what he does, and he's really making a difference out there in Denver, Colorado. And keep in mind, you guys, all this started because of his football talent, and then also, like he said, which was a great term, social capital. How much social capital will you have at the end of your career? So hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. I want you guys that are juniors and seniors to be alert as far as SAT and ACT timelines. You guys that are seniors, you definitely need to get on it. If you don't have the SAT or ACT score that you so desire at the time. If you guys didn't get to hear Tuesday night's show with Mr. Darius Bell, this is a BYGP kid that we had years ago. I actually coached him in high school, went off to play for Jim Mora at UCLA. So you want to check out the archive for the Darius Bell Show. That was a great show. Next week, we've got more locker room action coming to you, and we will be actually at the CIF State Championship game on December 19th and 20th in Los Angeles, California. And those should be some great games as well. So any of you players across the country that are still playing, whether it's college, high school, pros, we wish you well. We pray for you. You guys have a hell of an end to the season, and definitely please stay healthy. We hope you guys got something out of tonight's show. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, signing off for Before You Go Pro and the rest of the team. We will see you guys at the top. Have a good one.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Hey. All y'all girls standing together like that. Keep shaking. Hey. Hey. Bye.
touch. Hey, 'cause girl, I like you.